A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we want to make sure you have the best chance to listen to all the guitar content that's right for you. That's why we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. A veritable treasure trove full of interviews, mini-series, and a whole extra half an hour episode every week. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. Get your nerd on.
Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Mark Packham.
Gotcha! Barry's not even hosting it, it's me. That's right, everyone, you're stuck with me. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And the internet's Mary Spender.
Hello.
And what a packed episode full of cool new gear we have for you. We've got a few things that we didn't cover last week from SNAMM, from our SNAMM special, plus a smattering of questions from...
Was that only last week?
Yeah.
It feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like for the first time ever I've had to do some work. Which is,
what, at work?
Well, no. Like, in between, I've had to prepare. I'm used to sort of swanning in here.
Oh, I see, yeah. And, like, just having everything sort of spoon-fed to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I'm kind of glad that I'm still in that position.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a busy week for all of us here at Guitar Nerds. Jay's managed to get some post-SNAMM rest. I've done some work. And, Mary, you've more or less been in a different country every time you've uploaded something to Instagram.
I know, I'm that person now, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible, terrible person.
So you got back from the Montreux Jazz Festival.
Yes.
How was that?
It was unreal. Like, I've held it, I don't know, it's just one of those things in your head that you can only imagine what it's like, and then you get there and you're just like, what? This is insane. It's the most elaborate festival I've ever been to. Usually I think of wellies and mud, and this is everything but that. Unbelievable sound quality, really small venues for the artists that are playing, and just incredible lineups, really prestigious. And yeah, I went out there for sure, and I got to take some friends along too. Well, people that became friends by the end of the trip. And
you took a load of sort of aspiring musicians with you.
Aspiring musicians? Geez. No, like amazing musicians. I had Andrew Huang there, who is, if you haven't seen his YouTube channel, he's unbelievable and so entertaining, so talented, so prolific. Rachel K. Collier, Hannah Trigwell, Joe Dolman, Guy Jones. Oh my God, who am I forgetting?
Sounds like you forgot your mates over here, mate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure none of us got a short invite.
You didn't get invited.
Thanks. But
that.
Who introduced you to Hannah Trigwell and Joe Dolman? Incidentally,
yeah,
One
person I've forgotten about, and that's Paul Davids, who guitar YouTuber extraordinaire, who's just blown up over the last year. He was out with us too, so it was just unreal. And then we also had a filmmaker who just spent some time in the Amazon with Werner Herzog called
Rupert.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a mad bunch of people, and they were so amazing and on it, and we just had this like a wild time. It was my birthday out there, and we just had this amazing scenic time, and it was so hot. It was actually basically the same temperature that the UK is now, which I know isn't very hot to our US listeners, or anywhere else in the world other than the UK, but it's just, it was sweltering. But yeah, we saw Massive Attack on my birthday, and then we saw Gary Clark Jr.
They don't have guitars. Yeah, is this the guy that you messaged me about? And I was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh man,
Gary Clark Jr. has got a signature Epiphone.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, what Epiphone?
It's kind of a big deal.
It's a 175.
Oh yeah, my favourite guitar.
Just having a look.
But I've got the real one. See, I bought the Gibson rather than the Epiphone.
Oh no, it's a Casino. Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, it's a Casino. It's like that Blue Burst.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called Black and Blue. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's really nice. Fun. And also, he's a really nice guy because, yes, I met him and hung out with him and bought him drinks. Which, it was mad. And then I met Quincy Jones as well, all in the same night. And I literally freaked out over lovely 85-year-old Quincy Jones, who is worth like millions of dollars, and just there just talking about Michael Jackson and stuff.
Wow.
And giving me life music advice. I'm literally not kidding. He was amazing and so on form. And it was like 4 a.m. when I finally got the courage to introduce myself to him. So it was just mad. But we filmed a lot. We did podcasts. We got loads of content for sure. And yeah, I was really proud of the team as well. It was just mad. It was just crazy.
Any performances that stood out or gear that was used that stood out?
No, can't remember. Nah,
classic Mary Spender.
Yeah, classic Mary Spender, destroying my reputation one event at a time. No, it was just everything was... oh God, I won't be able to like remember everything now, but just, it was all top spec. The sound checks would go on because there would be like 3 artists a night. So Massive Attack had a 6-hour sound check. Yeah. And their set was just, it was so crazy because it was like 2000. I don't even know if it was 2000 people, but for Massive Attack, that's a small amount of people.
Yeah.
And then in the, I think it was called the Jazz Club, I think, or the Jazz House, something, where Gary Clark Jr. played. It was, again, pretty small, and I got immediately to the front, had a total freak out about what he was doing on stage because it was so restrained and so, like... And I talked to him afterwards about his choice of... I know this is so stupid to even just... He's just not a shredder, and I love that about him. And he takes time, and he leaves space. He also has phenomenal musicians on stage with him. Like, his other guitarist, Eric, was just mind-blowing. It was just unreal. I'm still speechless about the whole thing, and I'm not sure how to return to normal life after it. I'm like, that's my life now. Just living in Montreux.
Is it like right on the lake? Because it's near right Lake Geneva, isn't it, Montreux?
It's on Lake Geneva.
Is it? Right. Amazing.
And I went for a run every morning around the lake, and it was just...
The whole way around?
No, not the whole way around. It's like 60 miles. I went 2 miles and then 2 miles back. You know, it
That's
was...
good.
It
That's
was,
good.
It was slow, and it was really hot. But yeah... I flew my drone over the lake. And
oh wow, awesome!
It almost got attacked by a seagull, so I've actually got footage of my drone being attacked by a seagull. So that's the takeaway.
Quality. I went to Zurich at one point last month, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do? It's 100%. I'm gonna go exactly what you said, actually, Mary. Is I was like, I'm gonna get up early. I'm gonna go for a run around Lake Zurich because it's like beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and of course, I ended up in a hotel on an industrial estate, like 5 miles from the lake. So it's just like, I just had absolutely no chance to do it. So yeah, but I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah.
So since we last spoke, Mary, I think you've actually switched your amp setup up.
Yes.
Because you were using a Rocker 32 and like one of those Orange Crush 100s. I think it's a...
The Crush, the bass.
Yeah, 50? The bass one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the 51 one.
Yeah, I've still got that.
And we've spoken about that loads. How you were using the little Thunder pickup in one of your Vigiers, and how you were sending the bass signal to the bass amp, to the 50-watt bass amp, and using the Rocker 32 combo for everything else. But you've switched this up now. You've opted for just you're going head and cab now.
Yeah, I am. I've grown up. I realized I wasn't using the stereo capabilities in the 32. Although I bought the 32, Orange very kindly just swapped them over. So I sent the 32 back and I got the Rocker 15 head with the 2x12 vertical cab. That's pretty lightweight and just still easy for me to transport. But I don't know what it is, and I guess it's just the speakers being a little bit higher and having, you know, just it just being vertical too. So it's just like slightly further up in the room. So when I'm playing, I feel like I'm getting a genuine guitar tone experience. And I don't know whether that's just, it's probably just my personal preference, but it just means I don't have to go as loud as I was going with the 32 because it was on the floor and I probably should have just raised it up. But I don't know, I just felt way more comfortable with this. It's just, I don't know, it's just user experience, I guess. And it's, and it's got everything that I needed from the 32, just without the stereo. So, and I wasn't using that anyway, so it's all good.
So, I've got a point about that. Yeah. Now, I'm vigorously pointing my pen at you, Joe Branton, and also a number of the listeners who, during Gear of the Year last year, when we were talking about amps, everyone else was really, there was a lot of people pushing for the Rocker 32 to be the best amp, and everyone was like, oh, you know, it's got a stereo effects loop.
Oh, here we go.
This and the other. And I was like, listen, I think that's great, but who really is going to use it? And Mary, I'm so glad that you've turned around and you've said, you know what, it's great, but how often was I really using the stereo capabilities of that fantastic effects loop? Great, great piece of kit there, but quite niche. And I got slammed for saying that. Absolutely slammed. In fact, people at NAMM accused me of favoritism on the EVH. I don't work for EVH. I don't care about that. That's what I thought was the best amp of last year.
Fine.
Only in the 32's defense. For the price point, that
vindicated.
But if you have any Strymans or the RV500 or whatever, it would be perfect. But I don't use those pedals.
Totally.
I'm not there yet. I'm still in my toddler phase of learning what I want.
No, completely.
As you all know. But this for me is just like the bedroom headroom switch is perfect. I can just like get a fuller tone without having to crank it too high. And then,
well, that's the point. Yeah. How are you finding, because you've literally halved your wattage. You're using a 15, you know, a 15 watt head now, and I guess you changed, but you've changed almost the other way, because the 32 is two 10 inch speakers and you've changed to two 12s now.
I've only noticed a difference in terms of like I haven't put it on stage yet, so it hasn't gone on tour. I'm excited about that possibility of doing that, but yeah, I actually thought, do you know what, in terms of traveling, the 32 was really heavy for what it was, for the size it was, because of the two 10 inch speakers. Although I've now got 2x12, it's lighter because of the plywood. It's really lightweight. It's under 20 kilos for that size cab. It's great. And although everyone in the comments of the YouTube videos I've made about it, they're like, oh, it's probably going to sound terrible, and it doesn't.
No,
Orange,
there's no way.
There's no way
on.
Orange are going to let something
cabs.
Yeah, exactly. No. And so I always thought maybe I could just take the head to a gig, borrow a cab, if it's a support slot or whatever, so it's even more practical for me than the 32 was.
That was actually kind of where I was going to lead. Was, you know, do you think a head and cab as a separate setup is a better idea for touring? Are you finding? Well, I guess you're yet to find that, but I wondered if that was a reason behind it. If it was a sort of touring sensibilities, having just come off a tour where you had to take around
just a pedal board. Well, yeah, because for the Mike Dawes tour, I couldn't take even an amp, so now I could take the head too. So you know, I could just put the cab on a back line and just ask for that, whatever make it is. I know it will sound good with that head. But yeah, basically, yes, that's what I want. I don't want to be left with just a pedal board again. Although it sounded fine, it didn't sound where I wanted it to. So I want a cab on stage, whether or not it's mine or whether it's a venue's. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what it is. I'm falling back in love with my Indus as well, but without using the Little Thunder pickup, actually. I've just switched it to the Bridge pickup and I've just been going really bluesy on it, really. I'm gaining it up. I've written a whole song just using this tone and yeah, feeling a bit more inspired.
The Indus is a cool guitar. I think out of everything in the Vigier lineup, I'm always drawn to the Indus, maybe just because it's their super strap sort of style instrument.
Yeah.
But that just on a Bridge pickup, that sounds great.
It's not their super strat because they've got, I think it's the Excalibur Expert. I'm probably going to be corrected on that.
It is. But what is the difference between the Indus and the Excalibur? Is it just pickups? It's the same body shape.
So the Excalibur is the body shape. And then, basically it's just pickups that they change. I think the body shape is the same. Then there are obviously different paint jobs too. So the Indus is the most, I think it's the most affordable on the Vigier line.
Right.
And that's why I went for it, because obviously the Little Thunder pickup was experimental, but I like plain guitars. You know, the huge sunburst finishes and stuff that Vigier are actually quite famous for. I didn't want to go all that way with this experimental pickup at the time. So went for the Indus and yeah, it's just being destroyed in the summer heat though. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but just like, it's so humid, any little bit of sweat. I know this is so gruesome, but you have to take care of your guitars in summer, everyone, because yeah, they are just being ruined by your hands.
You mentioned this the other day. You said you were working on something to do with humidity and guitars.
Not so much humidity, just heat in general, and just like leaving your guitars out of their cases in this, you know, if your window is open and the sun is just beaming through at God knows how much, you know, what the temperature is through glass, and basically becoming a greenhouse for your guitars. I'm just a bit worried about some acoustics in the UK right now that are probably just being, I don't know, almost whitewashed.
Yeah, acoustics, certainly for me and Jay, they were always like an issue at GAC in the shop.
Yeah.
We used to get like humidity levels used to skyrocket in the acoustic department.
Yeah, until Dan Grace got into his, I can't remember, there's a thing that measures the humidity. I can't remember what it's called, but he had a bunch of those. He was the one who really got into that.
It's so
dehumidifier.
Important.
No, not a dehumidifier, you dingus.
How about a humidifier?
No, I can't remember what it's called. Something that measures. I don't know. I still don't really know.
Let's not go down the humidity line of conversation.
Sorry to draw you back a hair to what you were talking about for a minute there, Mary. But I'm just looking at the vertical orange cab, which I didn't realise they were doing, and it looks like it's quite a new. Maybe we've spoken about. Was it? For this now?
New for winter. New for winter now.
Maybe we talked about it then, but I didn't realise. I've just had a look, and it's because I had assumed, because most of the orange stuff is vintage 30s, or the cheaper stuff is those Voice of the World speakers that they put in a lot of stuff. But this is actually Creambacks. It's the neodymium Creamback. So they're super light, but if they, and I've not heard this, and I've not heard Creamback. I've not heard the Neo Creambacks, I think is what they're called, which appear to be just cheaper versions of the Alnico Creambacks, which are like super, super expensive speakers. So if they sound anything like that, I bet this is a really, really great cab. I've always been a big fan of those Creambacks. So that's really cool. And it's cool to see Orange doing something a little bit different as well, because they pretty much everything has got vintage 30s.
Everything has vintage 30s, and it all weighs a ton.
Yeah, vintage 30s or those Voice of the World. And I think they did that high power 412, which had something different in it. I can't remember what it was, but that's really cool. Really cool to see them doing something a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, they are great.
Yeah.
Jay, you've had like a week to sort of get back from SNAMM and recover. I'm insisting on calling the whole thing SNAM.
Yeah, I've just stopped trying to correct you now.
Yeah, I know. And I appreciate that we covered everything quite heavily, but I wondered if there was anything that you thought was an especial highlight for you. Because I was thinking, out of everyone on Guitar Nerds, you probably own or probably purchased the least amount of equipment.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not as flush as you guys.
Well, out of all of the Guitar Nerds, you're one of the only ones to go to both NAMMs this year. So there must be something... There must be something that you're thinking about purchasing.
Yeah, totally. There's loads of Fender products that I'm looking at. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So I went and spoke with, and we did talk about this briefly last week, but I did go and speak with the guys at T-Rex because I really don't think I'm going to be able to justify buying a third Tape Echo. But that Binson that they've been teasing for the last 18 months or so is just, I'm so desperate to see it, and I'm so desperate for it to be really good. And having spoken to them, they did say that it's nearly there, and I'm very, very excited about it. I think it's going to be really fantastic. But other than that, I guess my next thing is I want a new amp.
Right.
And I do hate to be a company shill, but I think I'm going to get a Princeton. The only thing that turns me off a little bit is I prefer 12-inch speakers. So,
but they do the Blackface 12-inch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was an FSR that I saw it in the shop actually because I popped into GAC this weekend to have a look at those Mischief Maker Strats that you've been posting about
with tele headstock,
which are the black paisley and pink paisley Strats with Telecaster headstocks. They look amazing. I mean, I didn't trouble anybody to get one down, but they really do. It looks something fierce, and you've got an amazing Seafoam Sparkle custom shop Strat in there as well,
yeah,
at the moment, which looks really nice. But yeah, I think a Princeton, a 12-inch Princeton is the next thing that I want to get, because I want something that's not super duper loud, but I just think that a 12-inch speaker really does make all the difference. If you've only got one speaker, you know, 410s, different argument. I think 410s are amazing, but if it's just a single speaker, I've always been more of a fan of the 12-inch speaker, mainly because, I mean, there's enough treble coming through me as it is, like, you know. I mean,
I'm literally looking at the EQs, yeah,
I bet, you know what I mean? Like, I need all the help I could get. Like, you know, my frequency response just emanates through me. Like, I play Telecasters that have got like brass saddles and that. So, you know, I need absolutely all the help I can get to try and offset some of that. So there's that, and I've got my eye on one of the Parallel Universes that's coming later in the year. I don't know. I do feel bad saying like, oh yeah, I want a load of Fender stuff, but I mean, it's no different to what I was saying 5 years ago.
Yeah, that is true. So I've got really into Dan Electro. Well, you know, Mary, you might not know this, but I have ordered from Dan Electro the
Oh, you're on first name terms now.
Dan
himself. Dan. You give him a bell
from Dan. I've ordered from Lynn at Dan Electro actually, but a double neck DB604 half bass half guitar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't humor him. Don't humor
yeah,
him.
I'm getting a black to white burst. Double neck. Half bass, half guitar. That's the coolest thing ever. I'm pretty sure.
Do you know what? I'm definitely influenced, Joe, by your positivity around new guitar gear, because now I've started looking at pictures of things that from brands that I'm not really like either that familiar with or that much in love with. And I'm like, oh, but that's just fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that is, oh, it's brilliant. It's the next best thing. And I've just realised I'm turning into you.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that because, is why I own 15 guitars.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Although, actually, because of moving house, I'm going to have to get rid of a few. Oh, God.
You're going to have what?
I'm going to have to get rid of a few guitars.
She's having a clear out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I saw that you were having a clear out, actually.
Yeah, my Patreon people. Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to get some cool Mary Spender related gear, then yeah, sign up to the Mary Spender Patreon, where you can purchase old guitars and interfaces and things like that. But there's some cool gear. There's some really cool gear on there. But yeah, coming back to Dan Electro, have either of you seen the 64 bass? Dan Electro 64, well, no, I wouldn't expect either of you to, because it's a bass guitar. But Dan Electro have put out, we actually spoke about it last week because it came out for Summer Nam, but they did their 64 hollow body and solid body Mosrite copy, mm-hmm. the Dan Electro Mosrite copy. Like, fantastic, a really great looking Mosrite copy. Slightly more subtle than I think other brands managed to make their copies. Like the horns are a little bit over curved. I really like everything about it. But they've released it as a bass version as well, with their bass version of a P90 right in the neck and a double loaded splittable lipstick humbucker in the bridge. Available Whoa. In their like ice white, black, and sunburst. And I have to say, this is Dan Electro absolutely firing on all cylinders. Also, interestingly enough, like this 64 range of stuff from Dan Electro, they're like £1,000 a guitar, or that's sort of what they're coming into the UK at. Anyway, I appreciate they're written out as being a little bit less on the US sites, but they're
that's a lot more than like the 59.
Yeah, I know.
It seems weird.
It's considering it's still sort of like a Masonite body. It's still everything else about Dan Electro is kind of the same. But they do make great guitars. Like, Mary, what you think of the Strat? You had their version of the Strat.
The
I can't 84. Remember what that was. The 84.
The 84. Lipstick pickups. It sounds great. Like, you wouldn't be able to guess what it... Like, you wouldn't guess that it's... I think it's right now about £500. So, for the price point, like, it feels... slightly at that price point.
I mean, this is coming from
it.
This is coming from Mary Spender, who only plays £3,000 guitars, of course.
Well, this Dan Electro, you know, it changed a few things in me, and my acoustics are pretty budget too, so but yeah, my Vigiers spoil me, but I think they're pretty great. I think they're a cool company. Obviously, I have my signature pedal with them too, the Big Spender. so, you know, like, I'm just waiting for my cut on that too.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm sure it'll come through because, you know, Rob Chapman's done some pretty good marketing for it. So,
they really did nail it, because you're so well known for your Leslie sound. You know, that's.
yeah. Yeah. I think this looks cool. I'm really interested. I don't know what those lipstick humbucker. I don't know what that even sounds like. What does it sound like?
Presumably, it's really clangy and I don't know. Maybe you can shed some light on it, Joe. But that sounds to me like it will be super trebly.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it literally doesn't matter to me. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm probably going to buy
it. You never do.
Anyway.
All the gear and no idea. Yeah.
I'm
Guitar Nerds podcast.
Yeah, that is the Guitar Nerds podcast. And with that, we should open up a big fat barrel of news.
Of excuse me,
what?
That was rubbish.
No.
That was rubbish, actually.
That was really, really bad.
Okay.
Have you lost it now, your host?
No, I haven't lost it. And
I feel like you've lost it.
I kind of feel like maybe you've lost it.
Yeah. Right, okay. So I haven't lost it because right now, and you guys won't be able to hear it because I'm going to add it in post, I'm going to add the new news jingle.
You're listening to the Guitar Nerds podcast. This is the news.
Don't add a jingle.
Well, I've just done it. I've literally done it just before you said that.
It's
already happened. I pre-recorded it because I figured, you know, my voice is going to be used up hosting, so I wanted to have all my best bits saved down for jingle purposes.
You want to have your best bits saved for jingle purposes?
Yes.
Right, okay, cool. Just so long as we're clear on what you said there.
So who's going to start the news? Jay Cross. There are some new releases from Music Man.
Yeah, so Ernie Ball, Music Man have released a new Stingray, the Stingray Special Bass, which like, at face value, you're like, okay, cool. Well, I think these are just cheaper basses. But looking into it a bit more, there's quite a lot going on here. So there's a new neck joint, a 5-bolt sculpted neck joint. I don't know what they have previously.
Well, I mean, it just means they've added like a contoured heel.
A bit of a contour. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for all those bass solos up the high end.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you're into, isn't it? It's not, you know, that's obviously, I'd never made it past the 7th fret on my P bass. But, you know, there's that. And they've changed the body contour slightly, which seems quite weird. That seems like quite a step away from what you would expect with Music Man.
Yeah, they've slimmed down the body to make it more lightweight, because Stingrays were so notoriously heavy. And I do feel like the Stingray hasn't benefited from the same thing that maybe the Precision and the Jazz Bass have, which is that whilst the Stingray is relatively timeless, I think people accept the Jazz Bass and P Bass are supposed to be sort of vintage sounding retro instruments.
Yeah.
So people go, oh, they're heavy. Oh, they're clunky to play.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine because it's a retro sounding instrument. The Stingray is quite modern sounding. So when other modern instruments, you know, from companies like Ibanez, you know, occur around it, and they're making theirs lightweight and, you know, slim profiles and easy to play, and Music Man is still basically doing the same sound but weighs a ton.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is a smart upgrade for Ernie Ball. And of course, they've also followed suit with the roasted maple board, which we're seeing across the board.
Exactly, yeah. Across the board on all the Music Man stuff. And actually, I think that was something that was very evident at Summer Nam.
Oh, you nearly did it.
I nearly just said Nam, and then I was like, no, I better say Summer Nam. I stumbled over whether I was going to say Summer Nam, but I thought, no, I will. you made me lose my train of thought now. At SNAM, there was absolutely loads of new boutique builders that were all using roasted maple necks.
Yeah, those ovens are getting used.
They do. Yeah, they do really, really sound, really feel fantastic. Along with you know, shaving the body to make it a little bit thinner and try and keep some of the weight down. They've also got some new neodymium pickups, which I'm sure will make all the difference in keeping that weight down.
Well, I think they've changed the hardware as well, because the hardware was always nickel, which weighs a metric ton as well on the Stingray. So there's everything that contributed towards making those Stingrays heavyweight. They've switched up. I think it's steel hardware now, and the neodymium pickups, the contours. They've tried evidently to make this instrument really lightweight.
Yeah, totally. And they reckon that they're all going to be under 8 pounds. So, I mean, that really is like pretty light.
Yeah, that's
very light. See what happens. 18-volt preamp, which, I mean, that 2 9-volt batteries in a bass.
That's occurred on the Sires, on the Marcus Miller Sires for some time now. In fact, I think they're all 18-volt. But like,
yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between like the Sires and a Music Man Stingray.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's asking for trouble. I mean, who knows? We'll see. But, like, what we always experienced in the shop, whenever anybody was buying an active guitar, people were always bringing them. And this isn't an entry-level instrument by any stretch of the imagination, but it is something that, you know, people will forget to unplug. I guess it's part and parcel of you playing an instrument like this. You've just got to learn to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Bringing you back a step to the bake maple aspect of this instrument, and actually the industry in general, it seems to be we're going through a bit of a bake-off in the guitar world. but if you think about it, it's true. Like, Mary, you got a Music Man Cutlass recently, or you had one for a brief period.
Yeah, just lent to me.
Yeah, which I think we had as well for a short while, which actually I think just sat in my house mostly. But I did do some things with it. But that was like a baked maple instrument. And Music Man have really obviously moved towards that. But we saw go on.
I thought it was honestly like one of the nicest necks I've actually ever played by Music Man. And I know they're famous for their necks, but that was particularly nice.
It's made a massive difference.
I want one.
Yeah. it's made a huge difference. And I think the James Valentine's, like, especially were super cool. And obviously Matt loved his, and the fact that they baked the neck on the Sterling as well made us consider it, like, so much more. But Charvel, like, this year at Summernam, and Mary, I don't know if you've seen these. Have you seen the DK24s? Terrible name for a guitar. But have you seen these? Okay, so Charvel have released an instrument that we touched on last week. I was really drunk last week, so I can't remember exactly what we did. But these new the new DK24s are kind of Charvel making something that's supposed to be an Ibanez AZ killer, or AZ, you know, I think is what they want us to pronounce it as. But, you know, it's them following suit, along with Music Man, along with these Ibanez AZs, of baked necks. And it's like a player's guitar is kind of the gist of it. It's supposed to be, it's a modern instrument that's not so modern it's going to put off the traditionalists. It's not so traditional it's going to put off the modern players. It has loads of modern.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sensibilities, like a decent bridge, like locking tuners, like the baked neck. It's a compound radius, so I think it's like 12 to 16 on the DK24s. Mm-hmm. And it's a satin finish, and it comes in shell pink. So
they really
I was
are
just
really
looking
are
at the shell pink.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
are for 900 quid, well, just over 900 quid. Well, that is extraordinary.
Straight out of the Mexico factory. Yeah, who doesn't? Straight out of the Mexico factory. And if you think that the AZs are coming at £1,800 for the standard one, and you think that, you know, a Music Man is £2,500-£3,000, wow. I mean, £900 for this instrument. Seymour Duncan pickups, I can't remember exactly what they are.
But how much are the Sterlings?
The ones that I was just talking about. Sterling guitar.
Like but you couldn't get baked. You can't get baked maple on a Sterling on anything other than the James Valentine. And the James Valentine is 800.
Right.
So the James Valentine slightly undercuts it. But then we are then talking about an Indonesian instrument versus a Mexican instrument for the same money. I really think, like, the satin finishes on these Charvels are... I think this is gear of the year. I think this is the guitar of the year, the DK24 in shell pink.
It's a really, really cool guitar. It really is. I'm all about it. That one that you... Because you've got one for...
I've got one.
Well, you've got the only one, actually, because that was in the office, and I think it's doing a bit of a tour.
It's got a little number, like, written on the back, because I think it's a pre-production, isn't it?
It
have a serial number on it.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
It's amazing.
It's absolutely astronomical, and I don't normally care about compound radiuses.
Completely. I'm exactly the same. In all seriousness, I literally only picked it up because it was pink and it was in the office, and I was like, oh, I've got to give this a go. And it really is fantastic. I mean, I didn't fall for it in the same way that you and Matty did. Matt, especially when we were at Summernam, he came, like, he texted me whilst we weren't together, and he was like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me about the Charvel gear of the year? Like, and I was like, what are you talking about, man? But yeah, he's all about it, and so's everyone else, apparently. So I'm very excited for them to come out.
Do you know what? It's just the subtle touches on an instrument that's at this price point. The one of the little things that I think will go unnoticed because it's got so many great features about it, the jack input.
Yeah, being on the back.
It's on the back. Yeah. It's a Strat jack input on the back, but it's upside down because... If you think about it, of course, all of us lob our cables over the top of our straps so that we don't pull it out. Yeah. This actually has it pre-angled that way. And I know other instruments have done this in the past, like famously all the Tosin Abasi stuff always came with that angle on the jack input. And I think it's something probably more common in like high performance style instruments, like metal style instruments. But I just thought, man, £900, shell pink, satin shell pink.
Yeah, it's quality.
Yeah,
it's really quality.
Yeah, it's a cool instrument. Other things that have occurred in the news. Mary Moore have announced some new stuff, and they're not pedals.
Yes, a 12-inch guitar cab with vintage speaker. And
yeah, with a vintage 30, right? It's a single 12.
Yeah, Celestion V30 speaker. It's insane. I think it's interesting that they're going this way, and then they've got a tube engine as well. It's a tube power amp, 20 watts.
Which essentially is there to kind of run with the cab. And the weird thing about this is because, of course, Moore have just put out, what, like 20 preamp pedals? So this is now offering like a power amp head and cab to go with that. But what I think is most interesting about this, which kind of brings me on to something that's interesting to talk about, is this is a solution set up for people who play Helix.
Well, you say that. I think actually what it is it's a solution for people who bought the Baby Bomb. you know, because they released that, what, like that 100 quid pedal.
Which was their version of the famous Electro Harmonics.
Calibre 22 or the Magnum 44. But yeah, they've got this... I mean, the cab looks great, actually. I mean, as we were saying, it's the same speaker that Orange have been using in their cabs for as long as, you know, I can remember. And there really aren't... There doesn't seem to be that many people making smallish power amps.
No.
So it does seem like the sort of thing that would be a good thing for Helix.
Yeah.
And
well, there's no
users.
One. There's no one making that sort of thing. Like the
well,
only
I'm sure you
I can
still get a Marshall 100-100. Oh. You know, if you wanted to do that, I'm sure they still.
I mean, the only one I can think of is Seymour Duncan are making the Power Stage. They do a rack mount version, which I think is something mental, like 800 watts. And they do I think it's called a 170 or a 160 perhaps, which is that the equivalent amount of watts of that in a pedal format, which I thought was which was super cool. But this is Moore moving into amplifiers.
Well, totally. Well, not just amplifiers. I mean, you know, this actually seems really well thought through. This is because it's only a 20 watt power amp. So, you know, as much as I joke about, and you know, you talking about the Seymour Duncan there, most power amps are super, super powerful. You know, Marshall 100-100, it's bonkers. It's way too powerful for most people in this day and age. And this is a 20 watt power amp. You know, I think that I'm actually really surprised that they haven't made more of a thing of this being compatible with their preamps, because obviously it's perfect for if you buy any of those preamp pedals, you've got that, then you've got this power amp, and then you've got that cab. You know, I mean, you've got a great setup there for not a huge amount of money. I think it's a very every and I think this is the thing is every time Moore bring out a new product, every time they've done that within the last 18 months, maybe 2 years even, we've said, wow, isn't this an interesting direction for Moore to be taking? And I think maybe we're doing them a disservice by constantly saying that. You know, think about these. Think about those preamp pedals. Think about the red truck before that. You know, they announced they're doing a sort of Helix type thing as well, aren't they?
The GE200?
And then there was all those pedals that they released, which actually weren't copies of other pedals. You know, and they're now bringing out new versions of those because there's also a new mod factory, and they've got that. You know, I think we're doing them a disservice by saying, oh, isn't this an interesting direction for Moore to be taking? I think they're just in a pretty innovative company.
Yeah, they do. They are proving themselves to be a super awesome, super innovative company. Now, Mary and Jay, you both play gigs.
Okay.
So, you know, you must be aware of those times at gigs when you get drinks thrown at you.
Nobody ever comes to see my band, so that's not...
I'm just thinking of my covers times when people with beers would try and just like, they'd just try and share the love with their big pints,
yeah,
just throwing it all over your gear.
Yeah, that's always the way. My least favorite.
Sorry, I was just talking about Joe, but anyway.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I actually once... Do you know the band Maybe She Will? You guys know the band Maybe She Will?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so Robert Smith from The Cure, who I went to see last weekend. I should have mentioned that earlier, but they were very good. Anyway, Robert Smith is...
There's a question about it.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Robert Smith is curating some shows in London at the moment, and he's got this band Maybe She Will to play, who are a post-rock band who have actually been split up for years, and they're reforming to play this show for Robert Smith, which is great. Unfortunately, the last time I went to see Maybe She Will, I was playing with them and I walked across the stage as they were setting up and knocked the main guitarist's beer into his, and it was one of those stag tray pedal boards.
A UPC,
yeah,
quality.
So of course UPC, for listeners, I'm you know, if you're proper guitarists, you do not own one of these.
What are you talking about? The UPC 535, absolutely classic piece of guitarist kit.
It's,
we've all owned one of those.
Yeah, we have essentially. It's a tray, so when the beer got knocked over into it, the beer literally filled his pedal board. And
I bet you'd gone over to try and be all cool.
Oh god,
and
I was
like, you've gone
was.
Over to try and be all cool and be like, yeah, you're right, mate, yeah, I know about pedals. Oh yeah, what pedals you got there?
That was literally what I was going to do.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, I played a band. Yeah, do you want to take my band on tour? Oh, I nearly swore there. Oh no, I've spilled beer on your pedals.
That is pretty much what happened. But if that fella had been using a Nexi pedal board, that certainly would not have been the case. Now, Nexi, I think, are possibly, as I say, listeners, I'm normally drunk on this podcast, so I can't remember if we've spoken about Nexi before, but Nexi pedal boards might be my new favourite thing. Now, they're not new. What they did announce at Summer NAMM, however, was their introduction of acoustic pedals. Now, the great thing about Nexi pedal boards are that they are completely rubberized and waterproof, but also that the connections to them are via like... I don't know what the connection is. It's like an 8-pin thing on the very back of the pedal. So you literally lock it into place on the board. You don't have any patch cables to either side. It just locks in, clicks on, clicks off. They do bass pedals, guitar pedals, and now acoustic pedals. And they do three sizes of boards. They do a 4, an 8, and I think, I don't know what the other one is, like a 12, I guess. Who knows? But they do a few sizes. The board itself has built into it a rack mount size tuner. So a tuner that goes a whole way across the top of the board, very, very visible. A boost, which I think is like... Oh man, I think it's like a 12 decibel boost built in. This is on separate rubberized switches that are included on the front of the board ahead of where you put the pedals. And there's something, an amp switcher is the third thing that they have built in there. So, which is incredible just off the bat. That's just the board. Then on top of the fact that you can pick from any of the effects in their series to load effortlessly onto their board, the pedals themselves actually come with little removable rubber stoppers, so you can plug jacks in if you just want to buy the pedal and use it on a conventional board. And there's even, for £12, I think, you know, whatever, $20, you can buy an adaptable kit so that you could install a normal pedal, like something from, you know, something like a Soul Food. You could wire in yourself onto the pedal board. But man, I think that's fantastic. What a brilliant sort of halfway house between Helix and pedal boards.
Yeah, and what happens if you want to use your Electro-Harmonix Big Muff?
Some pedals will fit.
The shape of it.
They told me that the new Fender pedals fit.
I very much doubt that, because they are quite big.
But, well, I mean, I think they do. Do you know, the funny thing is, they've launched this new acoustic range and it comes with this 4-pedal board, but they've only released 3 pedals in the in the acoustic pedal range.
Well, you know, that's so you can put your fuzz in there or whatever.
Yeah, well, they actually said that they're still working on the EQ. But come on, I think this is a great alternative, and they're quite reasonably priced. Thoughts?
My thoughts are... I saw something, I'm going to move on completely. I saw something similar to this at Summer NAMM, which I meant to talk to you about last week, but we never got around to. And that's this company, Modal. Have you heard of Modal?
No.
So they make, they're doing something very similar to what you're talking about with this pedal board, but they're actually doing it in a pedal format, right? So what they've made is they have made a pedal that is just, it's basically a blank chassis where you get a switch and a volume control and an LED to tell you whether it's on. And then there is space for three, modules, kind of like, you remember the Momark Mark bass amp, where you could you could put whatever you wanted in it. That you could get like three band EQ.
You chose an input, a control section, and an output.
Basically, these guys are doing that in pedal form, and they've got a bunch of different modules that you can use. So there's like a couple of different tones, a boost, a two-band EQ, distortion drive, a fuzz circuit, and you can basically make your own pedal from this selection of inputs. And I thought it seemed like a really interesting concept. I was speaking with the geezers, and they were quite young. They were saying that they hadn't finished college yet, and this was basically their... this was their project that they were working on through school, I guess. It's really interesting. And I can, the reason that I bring this up in comparison, in relation to what you were talking about, is I can see the benefits of it. But I just feel like it's, unless you go all in with a concept like this, you're just sort of leaving yourself a little bit, you know, without a paddle, as it were.
Well, yeah.
If anything goes wrong. Not that anything, you know, it just seems a little bit like you're really batting yourself into a corner.
I don't know, man. Do you remember we spoke about Yamaha and Korg both releasing these sort of modular sort of pedal boards back in the 80s?
Yeah, I suppose.
I love this.
But they weren't very successful then.
No, that is true. This is a reissue of an unsuccessful idea. What about you, Mary? Is this like, for someone who only uses a few pedals, is something like Nexi something that would appeal to you, or do you still think the versatility of a proper board is preferable?
Oh, okay. So I have this weird story to tell because, like, I don't know how you're going to react to it. But before I was really into electric guitars and pedals, which, you know, I'm accumulating a rapid collection now, I had the idea of creating something like this. And I had an ex who was an engineer, and we were like looking at it and like trying to like research how to do it. And we got really excited about it and then found, I think Nexi were doing it then. I think we just Googled it and we were like, oh, someone's already done it. But I think it's pretty cool, but I think it's an investment. Like, you'd have to really love to do it because they're still like $90 each pedal, right? So I don't know, like, you could get Soul Food for, I don't know, 70 quid, and you know, and then you could just have your traditional pedals, and it's hard. I think you'd have to really commit to it.
Yeah.
For it to be worthwhile. The splash proof thing is very, very impressive. But you have to be playing those gigs where people really are on top of your board for that to be something that you're really, really worried about, which I just used to play acoustic guitar and just not have any pedals on the floor and just, you know, deal with that. So I don't know. I'm becoming more of a traditionalist when I used to be a modernist.
Yeah.
And I get it now. So this is interesting. I think it's cool for some people, but
I agree that I think it's an awkward area because the product I'll talk about next is it actually sort of competes with it but almost offers something that maybe makes more sense to modern sensibilities, and that's Mod Duo, which I think we've spoken about Mod Duo before, but having spent some time with it, I really thoroughly recommend everyone checking out Mod Duo as a company to get on board with. Mod Duo, it's a single pedal with three rotary controls a side and two foot switches, so six rotary controls in total and two foot switches, and it's a completely browser based effects pedal. So you have to plug it in to your laptop, not to use, but to build the effect, but you can assign this to absolutely anything. So what's quite cool about the mod viewer is they actually have, they have a load of built-in stuff, but also they have their own plugin gallery on their website, and there are loads of free effects that you can download onto the pedal itself. Others that you can purchase. So this is kind of similar to Nexi, only it's all done with software. And what's cool about this is I'm not just talking about, you don't just download a DS1 and make the Mod Duo a DS1. You could download 4 DS1s going into a tube screamer, going into a delay pedal set on reverse, but at the same time have your clean signal run in parallel through to the end. And you could assign the 3 rotary controls on one side to deal with a delay swell, and the second foot switch to deal with adding in and out a shimmer reverb.
It so you're not loading up pedals, you're loading up patches, basically.
Exactly, yeah. So you build a complete patch. Now, yeah, that means that the only things you can control on that one patch will be whatever you assign to the 2 foot switches and the 6 rotary. So you can't control everything that you build on there like you would a Helix.
So you can't control multiple parameters with one control.
Well, you can, because you can flick through those parameters by pressing in the
rotary. Okay.
But let's be realistic about
you're not
how,
doing that live.
You're not
you?
Doing that live. So yeah, how many is it worthwhile adding onto those rotaries? You know, very few. And then the second foot switch, realistically, most people are just gonna it's gonna add in a boost. It's gonna add in some extra weird reverb. You're gonna assign it to a tap tempo. Oh, that's the other thing. You can assign loads of MIDI functions to this as well, and to anything on there. And because it's user based patches, people are making new stuff for this all the time. There's also an area where you can download other people's boards.
Right. Okay.
And try them out.
Like famous people.
No. Just right. Like other people have. Hey, this is my weird ambient.
Famous people.
This is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know who you mean. Jeff Goldblum.
Surely, yeah. It's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Surely it's open to us, you know, modding a few things.
And, we could upload our own.
Famous people.
We should definitely upload. We should make some really naff ones and upload them as Mary Spender.
Totally. I mean, 100%.
Don't, please. I'm sure that's already happened.
I think that this sort of thing, I'm kind of conflicted about, because I think that this is far more. Is a bit more usable than like the Nexi stuff in terms of like a practical, but like open to mass acceptance. I guess it kind of confuses me a little bit, because you know, 2 years ago, if someone had said, right, you know what's going to be the next big thing is Line 6 are bringing back modeling and everyone's going to think it's cool, I'd have been like, what is wrong with you? Like, of course not. But the Helix was so good and so usable that this sort of modeling and this sort of user editing, and the Kemper has made sharing patches super cool and interesting. And I think that there is a place for this now, which is really weird. And I do think that it talks a little bit about the changing times of what you know we're doing, and it isn't quite as archaic and backwards facing as I like to think it is. I guess, you know. But no, it's cool. It's cool. It's interesting.
Absolutely. Right, we are kind of running up at time, which is a shame, because I made a really good new jingle for the questions section of the podcast, but I think we're going to have to save those for next week now.
What are we doing? Are we doing those in the Patreon?
We can do
or
those.
Or did you have a Patreon
idea?
Yeah,
in the Patreon, we were going to talk about portability and versatility and what the minimum amount is that you can gig with and sound good, but we can also take some questions, which will give me the excuse to play the jingle.
Okay,
I spent a lot of time on these jingles.
I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah, they are good. They
jingle
are,
bells, yeah. Batman.
Anyway,
Branton
that
smells.
Is.
I meant to say Branton, but I said Batman.
That's true. Anyway, that is it for us on the regular podcast. But we will be continuing over in the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode, ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week. plus access to bonus features and mini-series such as Branton's Rant On. $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything.
Grunting?
Yes. Don't interrupt my patter. Everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honour of having your name read out in one breath.
By...
Mary, do you want to
if you send them to me.
I don't think anyone can do this in one breath, so I am going to continue.
No, I think you need to carry on.
There are so many now. Well, so popular.
Well, it's Mark tried to do it last week and I think he did three breaths.
I mean, it really doesn't matter, honestly. Mark passed over all the analytics to me and I found that the average listen is 33 minutes on our podcast. So
aren't listening to this.
No, exactly. No, so here we go. One breath. You ready?
By the time it gets to Colin Anderson's name, Colin Anderson's the only person left listening.
I know.
I think it's probably the case.
Are you ready?
Thanks, Colin.
Scott Hamilton, Ivor John Mayerkus, Merritt Peters, Golden G, Richard III, Sean Arlo, Joshua Mitchell, Chris Wolfman-Jumpinson, Ryan McDermott, Robert McCousin, Rob Gould, Nate Nagel, Tucker Avedon, Ernie Cooper, Emily James Baker, Christoph Rutter, Zayn Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Winsor, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Jake Gray, Christopher Lawson, Ron Courier, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordling, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Manchester, Steve Markle, Blair Thomas, Mark Cross, Brad Bates, Jenny Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstead, Paul Kerrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Will Thompson, Boo Graham, and Colin Anderson!
That was a feat.
That's going to kill me one day. There you have it.
You need to like give off the impression that it's more difficult than it is.
Because
like by doing that big thing at the end there, people think, this can be like another 100 names before he's going to struggle.
It probably will be. But you can rest assured, listeners, as I fall more and more into the pit that is alcoholism, it will get harder and harder for me. So there you have it. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds, or on YouTube by searching Guitar Nerds videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where all our various channels are displayed in all of their glory, and you can even purchase Guitar Nerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. Mary Spender, where can people find you?
Just Google my name.
Yeah, I mean, just Google. I don't know why I still sort of say that. It's like, yeah, you just everyone knows how to use the internet. Google Mary Spender. Anyway.
Spencer.
Maury Spender.
Maury Spender. Go and buy a nice waistcoat.
Anyway, that is all from us. Thank you very much for listening to the end. We will see you next week. Adios.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.